Prohibition of change of unpaid capital. There is a separate section for this which says no banking company shall create any charge upon any unpaid capital. How can you create charge on unpaid capital? Capital has to be there, no? So no banking company shall create any charge of any upon any unpaid capital of the company, and if at all any charge such created will be invalid. A lender cannot fall back on such charge because it is by the beginning itself void. It is invalid. Can you create a floating charge on the assets? No banking company shall create a floating charge on the undertaking of any property of the company unless, that is a condition, unless the creation of such floating charge is certified in writing. By whom? By the RBI, as not being detrimental to the interest of the depositors. So you require a special permission from RBI justifying that such creation of the charge is not detrimental to the interest of the depositors. Only and only then a floating charge may be permissible by RBI. Otherwise, a floating charge cannot be created. Can you appeal to the central government against RBI directions? Any banking company aggrieved by the refusal of the certificate, what is to be done? May within 90 days from the date on which such refusal is communicated, appeal to the central government. The decision of the central government when it receives such appeal shall be final. Again, the decision of the RBI, if the appeal has not been taken, shall be final. So, the appeal provisions are also specifically provided in the Banking Regulation Act 1949. Next comes the restriction of payment of dividends. No banking company shall pay any dividend on its shares. You cannot just pay dividend unless you are having a profit. So, no banking company shall pay any dividend on its shares until all its capitalized expenses, including preliminary expenses, organization expenses, share selling commission, brokerage, amount of losses incurred, and any other type of expenditure not represented by tangible assets have been completely written off. It is absolutely essential that all such capitalized expenses has to be booked in your profit and loss. Only then you arrive at a net profit which is available for the payment of dividends. Exclusively provided, no confusion at all. No banking company can take people for a ride. Dividends may be paid without writing off only under following circumstances. Every rule has an exception. So this is an exception. Let's see what. The depreciation in the value of investment in uproot securities has not been actually capitalized or otherwise accounted for as a loss. Adequate provision has been made to the satisfaction of the auditor. If the auditor is satisfied of the banking company for the depreciation in the value of its investments in shares, debentures or bonds other than the approved securities. Adequate provisions has been made on the satisfaction of the auditor of the banking company for the bad debts. These are all mandatory. There is one more slide which says all such provisions has to be made first. Only and only then you will have a clear fund for the distribution of dividends. Now we move on to reserve fund. Every banking company incorporated in India shall create a reserve fund. Out of the balance of the profit each year, as disclosed in the profit and loss, prepared, again there is a separate provisions under section 69, how do you prepare a profit and loss account? So all such provisions made under section 29 and before any dividend is declared, again this was the slide I was talking about, before any dividend is declared, there has to be some amount which needs to be transferred to a reserve fund. What is that amount? That amount was previously 20%. Now it has been amended to 25% of such profit. Any appropriation from reserve fund, if you appropriate any funds from the reserve fund, it has to be reported to RBI within 25 days, 21 days with full justification. So within 21 days, whatever appropriation from the reserve fund has to be reported to RBI with full justifications. It is a very strict requirement for such reporting. What is cash reserve? We have said reserve, which has to be taken out from the profit before paying off any dividend. What is cash reserve? It is a different type of reserve. We talk about CRR, SLR. So that CRR is something relating with your cash reserve. Every banking company shall maintain in India a cash reserve with itself or by way of balance in a current account with the Reserve Bank or by way of net balance in the current accounts or in one or more of its aforesaid ways, a sum equivalent to a percentage decided by RBI. Again, now we have got the definition of demand liabilities and term liabilities. This is where we are going to use it. So that percentage of the cash reserve to be maintained will depend upon the total of demand and time liabilities in India as on what date? As on the last Friday of the second preceding fortnight. That is how we maintain a cash reserve, or every bank has to maintain a cash reserve. It shall submit to the RBI. Again, maintaining is not enough. It has to report to RBI before the 20th day of every month, a return showing the amount so held on alternative Fridays during the month. If you don't maintain such, RBI will impose a penalty on the banks. If any such Friday is a public holiday under Negotiable Instruments Act, what is to be done? Then such balances should be held at the close of business on the preceding working day. So this has also been provided. If there is a holiday, what is to be done? Liabilities in India shall not include the paid up capital or the reserves or any credit balance in the profit and loss account, any advance taken from the Reserve Bank or from the Development Bank or from the Exim Bank or from the Reconstruction Bank or even from the National Housing Bank or from Small Industries Bank by the banking company. In the case of a regional rural bank, any loan taken by such bank from its sponsor bank. Cash reserves for scheduled and non-scheduled banks. We are going to see scheduled and non-scheduled banks probably in our next chapter. What is to be done for scheduled banks? What is to be done for non-scheduled banks? This has been explicitly provided in this section. In regard to cash reserve of a banking company, the provisions of section 42(1) of the RBI Act 1934 shall be governed for scheduled banks. And for non-scheduled banks, the provisions of section 18 read with section 56 of Banking Regulation Act will apply. What are the restrictions on loans and advances? Can you give loans and advances to anybody? No. The restrictions are specifically mentioned in this section. No banking company shall grant loans and advances on the security of its own shares. You may have billions of value of a share of your own company, but no banking company shall grant any loans or advances on the security of its own shares. Enter into any commitment for granting any loan or advance to or on behalf of its directors. Any firm in which a director is interested as a partner, manager, employee or guarantor, any company in which its director or directing managing director or a managing agent, employee or guarantor holds substantial interest. The moment you declare any of these entities hold a substantial interest, no loans or advances can be granted to such entities. Can you remit debts of your banking officials? No. A banking company shall not, except with the prior approval of Reserve Bank of India, remit in whole or any part of debt due by it, by whom? By any of its directors, by any firm or company in which any of its directors is interested, any individual also, if any of its director is his partner or a guarantor, and any remissions made in contraventions shall be absolutely void. It won't at all be considered as a remission of debt. So that is explicitly mentioned in this section and has to be strictly adhered to by all the bankers. Power of Reserve Bank to control advances by banking companies. It can definitely control advances. We see a lot of monetary is coming, either reduction or increase of CRR, SLR, repo, reverse repo for market stabilization and what's all. So here, this powers of RBI come from the Banking Regulation Act. What does it say? If in the opinion of Reserve Bank, it is necessary or expedient in the public interest or in the interest of the depositors, it may determine a policy. We have seen the definition of policy in our section 5. So it will determine a policy in relation to advances to be followed by banking companies generally or by any banking companies in particular. And when the policy has been so determined, all the banking companies have to strictly follow it. So that is the power given by this act to RBI to make any policy regarding to the advances, and this is the way it can control advances given by a banking company. Reserve Bank may give directions to banking companies when to the purposes for which advances may be made or may not be made. The purpose of the advance is very important. The margins, we have already seen a lot of debate for that 80-20 formula of housing loans. That is also a margin. So RBI wants to take a review on that. So same thing, it comes from this power. It can decide on the margins to be maintained in respect of secured advances. The maximum amount of advances, you cannot lend in the sky. There is a limit for every borrower. There is a limit for every sector. There is a limit for every industry. So this is coming from this particular subclause, which says the maximum amount of advances that may be made to any one company or a firm or an association or even to an individual, that can be decided by RBI. The maximum amount up to which, not just loan, but even a non-fund facility like a guarantee can be directed by RBI. The rate of interest, this is very common, a layman knows, the rate of interest and other terms and conditions of advances, guarantees can be directed by the Reserve Bank of India. The rate of interest charged by the banking companies is subject to scrutiny or not subject to scrutiny by the courts. Sorry, it cannot be subject to scrutiny. This is specifically provided in your Banking Regulation Act. Let's see more on it. Notwithstanding anything contained in the Usurious Loans Act or any other law relating to indebtedness in force, in any state, a transaction between a banking company and its debtor shall not be reopened in any court on the ground that the rate of interest charge, this is very important to note, it cannot be opened in a court on the ground that the rate of interest charged by the banking company in respect of such transaction is excessive. This is the very reason all the banks are supposed to declare right from their base rate till all other rates they are going to charge on the loans. There has to be a transparency, there has to be a disclosure. And once that transparency and disclosure is maintained, the rate of interest matter, just because it is excessive, cannot be reopened in a court. That's specifically provided. Now we come to a very important topic, which is licensing of banking company, a very hot topic, because we hear a lot about this for the second phase of granting licenses to private sector bank. We'll see more of it in the coming slides. But let's understand what licensing means. Licensing of banking company simply means no company shall carry on banking business in India unless it holds a license. Without license, no company can carry on a banking business. And that license is issued by Reserve Bank of India. It has sole authority to issue. No other entity can issue a license to a banking company. And any such license may be issued, there are certain conditions to be fulfilled. To be issued, subject to such conditions as Reserve Bank of India thinks fit. So RBI has already circulated the conditions for the new licenses, and based on that, some of the entities have already applied for acquiring a new license. RBI is in a process of reviewing those applications and is likely to come out with allotment of licenses to the new private sector banks in January 2014. We'll have to wait and see who gets the license and who don't get the license. We'll see more about it in our next slides. But before granting any license, the Reserve Bank may require to be satisfied by an inspection of the books of the company the following details. What are the details Reserve Bank of India will inspect? Number one, company is or will be in a position to pay its present or future depositors in full as their claims accrue. An entity cannot be a bankrupt. An entity has to have a sound background, strong repaying capacity, strong credentials. Only and only then RBI will look into it. That is the meaning of that first point. The second point says affairs of the company are not being or not likely to be conducted in a manner detrimental to the interests of the present or future depositors. Your company cannot take your customers for a ride. It cannot use its funds for any illegal activities. It cannot use its money for speculations. Affairs of the company is very important. That is the reason RBI uses its microscopic lens to understand both the purpose as well as the affairs of the company. Third point, very important. That is the first stepping stone for deciding whether to give a license or not. That is the general character of the proposed management of the company. Who is going to run? Is it a terrorist or a good professional, as we have seen the qualifications of a director? That a general character of the proposed management of the company will not be prejudicial to the public interest of its present or future depositors. That the company has adequate capital, structural and earning prospects. This is very important because RBI has made it very clear that whoever is getting licenses right from the day one, they are supposed to follow the CRR and SLR requirements. Even the Basel III norms are going to be applicable, and that can be met only and only if they fulfill this important requirement of adequate capital structure. You have a capital, but you cannot earn any profit, no use. So that projections has to be given right. That a public interest will be served by granting of a license to the company to carry on banking business in India. So public interest is also a very important factor in deciding whether the license has to be given or not. The grant of license would not be prejudicial to the operation and consolidation of banking company. It should not pose a threat to any of the existing banks, either individually or on a consolidation basis. It should be consistent with the monetary stability, and in fact, it should contribute to the economic growth. It cannot create a monopoly environment. Monopoly environment is not good for our socialistic pattern of society. Hence, it has to give monetary stability and contribute equally to the economic growth. any other condition besides above, any other condition the fulfillment of which in the opinion of Reserve Bank be necessary to ensure that the carrying on business of banking in India will not be prejudicial to the public interest or the interest of the depositors. Can you open branch anywhere? No. Restrictions on opening of branches and transfer of the branches are specifically provided under Section 23 of the Banking Regulation Act. What it says, it empowers the Reserve Bank of India to control the opening of new branches and transfer of existing banking companies. Talking on licensing, we have a very good news which is coming after a long wait of 7 years. What is that good news? The Banking Laws Amendment Bill 2011 to amend the Banking Regulation Act 1949, the Banking Companies Acquisition and Transfer of Undertaking Act 1970, and the Banking Companies Acquisition and Transfer of Undertaking Act 1980 was finally passed by the Parliament. And what did it do? It paved the way for Reserve Bank of India to issue guidelines for new banking licenses. All these amendment acts were necessary for RBI to issue the new licensing norms for the private sector banks. What are these new licensing norms issued by RBI? The bank shall open at least 25% of its branches in the unbanked rural centers. As we have seen in the previous slides, what is required from the bank? Contribution to the economic growth. If we see the market penetration or the penetration of banking in our rural sites, we still find lots of unbanked areas, most specifically in the rural sectors. That is the reason RBI has made it mandatory even for the new banks, they should have at least 25% of its branches in the unbanked rural areas. And how do we define these rural areas? Rural areas simply means population up to 9999, not more than 10,000. So imagine such people also want to come in the streamline, but they don't have access to any banking facilities. So even though you have a very sophisticated banking in the urban centers open, but at least 25% has to be opened in such areas so that those people also can have the banking facilities and they can also make an attempt to come to the mainstream line of our economy. This is another reason for avoiding concentration of their branches. What is the great idea of having one branch next to another branch? So many people having access to so many branches, no use. Hence, the concentration of branches can be avoided by this very important section. It shall comply with priority sector lendings. Even though you are a new bank, there is a mandate 40% of lending, of your total lending, has to be given to priority sector. Priority sector are all those small entrepreneurs, farmers, weaker section of the society, so that they get a helping hand for upgrading their lives, for finding a livelihood for themselves. Once they find a livelihood, they can contribute to the economy. And that is the basic essence of this section. It has to comply with the priority sector guidelines. Otherwise, won't get a license, simply. Should operate on core banking solutions. Gone are the days of manual banking. You cannot say we will study the market and then decide whether you do it manually or use technology. Right from the day one, you have to use the core banking technology, a mandatory requirement for all these new banks. Should have a high power customer grievance. You cannot give the excuse, we are new, we don't know, we will learn. Sorry. You have to have a customer grievance cell wherein any small complaint will be escalated to the highest level, as high as RBI, and a serious action can be taken on them. Hence, you have to take special care not only for your systems, but also for your services to your customers. What happens to companies incorporated outside India? more specifically the foreign banks. What are the conditions for them? In addition to the condition mentioned in the previous slide, they have to take care of this following conditions. What are they? To carry on the banking business will be in the public interest, and most important, the law of their country. They will be incorporated in their country. So the law of their country where they are incorporated should not discriminate in any way against the banking companies registered in India. A very important criteria for foreign banks. That the company complies with all the provisions of Banking Regulation Act. They can't say we are incorporated in our country, hence only that law is applicable. Sorry, Banking Regulation Act as well would be applicable for all the foreign banks if they want a license to do banking business in our country. Reserve Bank has a special power to cancel a license. What are the conditions and in which scenario can they cancel the license? If the company ceases to carry on the banking business, it declares on its own, sorry, we don't want. Yes, granted, license cancelled. License cannot stay alive if the company ceases to exist or ceases to carry on the banking business. If the company at any time fails to comply with any of the conditions imposed upon it, RBI has imposed various conditions for granting a license. If any of the conditions are violated, RBI has full authority to cancel the license. If at any time any of the conditions enforced by the RBI is not fulfilled, then also RBI can cancel a license. So these are specific three criteria on the basis of which RBI can cancel a license. Can you appeal to the central government against RBI? Any banking company aggrieved by the decision of Reserve Bank of India cancelling its license under this section should, within 30 days from the date on which the decision is communicated to it, has a right to appeal to the central government against RBI's decision of cancelling its license. The decision of the central government where an appeal has been referred to it shall be final. There is no further appeal once you submit your appeal to the central government against RBI decision. And if no appeal is preferred, then whatever decision given by RBI regarding its cancellation shall stay as final. Power of RBI to give directions in the public interest or banking policy to prevent the affairs of the banking company being conducted in a manner detrimental to the interests of the depositors. These are all summarized from the previous sections, but this section finds a summary of all the previous sections. To secure the proper management of any banking company, it is necessary to issue directions to the banking company. It may from time to time issue such directions as it deems fit, and the banking companies or the banking company as the case may be shall be bound with such directions. There is no point in just doing what RBI says. How will the RBI come to know what you are doing? So that proof of doing comes in the form of submission of returns. So submission of returns also has an important mention in Banking Regulation Act. It says that under the provisions of Section 27 of the Banking Regulation Act 1949, the banking companies are required to submit monthly returns and other returns. There is a large returns, small returns criteria, periodical criteria are also mentioned to the RBI in the prescribed form. You cannot use any other forms. There are specific forms which RBI have circulated to all the banks, and they have to be submitted periodically to RBI. RBI has various departments. We will see that in our next chapter. RBI has various departments to monitor all these submissions and come out of conclusions and further giving direction and guidance to the banks. There are special forms of balance sheet. Again, you cannot make your own balance sheet. You cannot make your own traditional balance sheets. RBI has made special provision of making both balance sheet and profit and loss under Section 29 of Banking Regulation Act, and it prescribes special forms of balance sheet as well as profit and loss account to be used by every banking company. This is over and above the rules mentioned in your Companies Act 1956. Companies Act 1956 makes general mention of rules applicable to companies in general. But Section 29 makes a special mention of the special forms of balance sheet and profit and loss specifically for a banking company. RBI has full authority to audit under Section 30 of the Banking Regulation Act. Section 30 of Banking Regulation Act 1949 lays down that the balance sheet and profit and loss account prepared in accordance with the Section 29 shall be audited by a person. Who can audit a bank balance sheet and a profit and loss account? That person has to be qualified under any law for the time in force. So the chartered accountants are in great demand because they have profession right under a particular law. So it has to be audited by a person duly qualified under any law for the time in force, and only such person can become an auditor and audit these financial statements of a banking company. You cannot get this audited by any person who is not authorized by a law. It has to be audited by a person duly authorized by a law. Then only such audit will be a meaningful audit under your Banking Regulation Act Section 30. Display of balance sheet by foreign banking companies. Now this is something different because this won't come under the purview of Indian companies. Banking companies are required to maintain their India business balance sheet as well as a consolidated balance sheet of their company incorporated in their country. So what is it about? Section 33 of the Banking Regulation Act 1949 requires a banking company incorporated outside India to display its principal place of business and branch office in India every year, copies of its balance sheet and profit and loss account prepared in accordance with Section 29. Again, they have to prepare in accordance with Section 29 for their India business. Business transacted by its branches in India. They cannot say that our balance sheet is like this as for our country. You make it for your country. But as far as India monitoring is concerned, they have to make balance sheet as per Section 29 of Banking Regulation Act. It also requires display of consolidated balance sheet. Now, they cannot hide their original balance sheet of their country. They also have to display a consolidated balance sheet and accounts relating to their entire banking business. That is the global business they are doing. Just like audit, RBI can any time and on being directed so by the central government, either on its own or directed by central government, cause an inspection to be made by one or more of its officers of any banking company and its books and accounts, and the Reserve Bank shall supply to the banking company a copy of its report on such inspection. So RBI on its own as well as on directions received by central government carry out the inspection, and the banking company has to provide all its details. They cannot hide any record, any information, and based on that RBI will submit a copy of its report for making any changes, for making any improvement on the basis of its inspection, again specifically provided in Banking Regulation Act. No banking company has a right to refuse such inspection by Reserve Bank of India. Scrutiny. Reserve Bank at any time may also cause a scrutiny. Scrutiny is some focused attention to be made by any one or its officers of the affairs of the banking company and its books and accounts. We have seen this affairs of the banking company is one of the important criteria for giving a license. So RBI has a right to make a scrutiny of its affairs. A copy of the report of scrutiny shall be furnished to the banking company. It's optional if banking company makes a request for the same, but if there is an adverse remark or an adverse action is contemplated against the company, then the RBI will definitely make a point to submit a report and ask a clarification on that scrutiny. Duty of the director, officer and the employee. In case of an inspection, in case of an audit, in case of a scrutiny, what is the duty of any director, any officer or any employee of a company? It shall be the duty of every director, officer or employee of the banking company to produce to any officer making an inspection or scrutiny or all such books, accounts and other documents in his custody or power, and to furnish with any statements, not only books and accounts, but he has to give a written explanation also, to furnish him with any statements and the information related to the affairs of the banking company, as the said officer may require of him within such time as the officer may specify. He has to submit it again within a reasonable time which the RBI officers may give to such director, officer or employee of the bank. You cannot take your own time. It has to be in a very disciplined manner. What are the consequences of inspection? The Reserve Bank shall, if it has been directed by the central government, to cause an inspection, and the central government, if it is of the opinion after considering the report that the affairs of the company are being conducted, please note this, very important, if the affairs of the company are being conducted detrimental of the interest of the depositors, then after giving such opportunity to the banking company, it will ask the banking company to make a representation, ki why are you doing such activities? Can you give an explanation that such activities are not detrimental to the interest of the depositors? And if the opinion of the central government seems reasonable that such action is detrimental, it can give an order in writing. What is that order in writing? That order can be to prohibit the banking company from receiving fresh deposits. Immediately stop the banking business. Direct the Reserve Bank of India to apply under Section 38 for winding up, close down the business. Central government may, after giving reasonable notice to the banking company, publish the report submitted by the Reserve Bank or such portion of the affairs so that the public comes to know. We all go to the bank, and there were lots of problems when there is a death of the account holder. There was a chaos during one time when bankers were in a very difficult position to dispose of the balances lying in the name of the deceased customer. Then came the nomination rules. The nomination rules form a very important aspect of Banking Regulation Act. Nomination for payment of depositors, as well as safe custody and deposit lockers, has been made permissible by introducing Section 45ZA to ZF of the Banking Regulation Act 1949. This particular introduction of Section 45ZA to 45ZF of Banking Regulation Act, in excess of these powers conferred by Section 52 read with Section 45ZA, ZC and ZE of the Banking Regulation Act, and after consulting RBI, the central government has made special rules called Banking Companies Nomination Rules 1985. These rules are such fantastic that there are prescribed forms made available in the Banking Regulation Act for making a nomination, for cancelling a nomination, for modifying a nomination, anytime, anywhere. So there is a clarity in the nomination forms. Nomination helps the banker as well as the members of the deceased family to get the proceeds lying in the deceased account quickly and efficiently without having any procedural difficulties or complexities. Now we come to a very important topic of cooperative bank. This was not included before 1966. We saw a special amendment after which cooperative banks were also included. Cooperative bank is defined under Section 5CCI of Banking Regulation Act. It defines a cooperative bank as a state cooperative bank, a central cooperative bank, and a primary cooperative bank. State cooperative bank is at the state level, central cooperative bank is at the district level, and primary cooperative bank is at the rural level. The Banking Regulation Act, as amended in 2004, empowers Reserve Bank of India to issue license for multi-state cooperative banks. If a cooperative bank wants to operate in more than one state, then it has to take a special license under your Multi-State Cooperative Societies Act, registered under Multi-State Cooperative Registration Act 2002 to carry on the banking business. Applicability to cooperative banks. Is Banking Regulation Act applicable to cooperative banks? Yes, by an appending act called the Banking Laws Application to Cooperative Societies Act 1965, the then Banking Companies Act 1949, now the Banking Regulation Act 1949, has been, with certain modifications, made applicable to cooperative banks also, to cooperative societies carrying on business of banking. Section 56 exclusively makes provisions of what all a cooperative bank should be doing for following the Banking Regulation Act as applicable to cooperative societies. So Section 56 of the Banking Regulation Act makes provisions regarding the application of Banking Regulation Act 1949 with modifications to cooperative banks. Some important recent changes of Banking Regulation Act, let's see that. Foreign direct investment in private sector banks is allowed up to 74%. Considering the imperative need for augmenting the reserves, this we have seen already, all scheduled banks operating in India should transfer not less than 25%. It was earlier 20%. Not less than 25% of the net profit to the reserve fund with effect from 31st of March 2001. Some other amendments, we have seen the nationalization of banks in our evolution of banking in India. The social control after nationalization was imposed through Banking Laws Amendment Act. It couldn't have been imposed without an amendment. Hence, the social control was imposed through Banking Laws Amendment Act 1968 by amending the Banking Regulation Act 1949. The Banking Regulation Act Amendment Act 2007 amended Section 24 provided for maintenance of percentage of assets, and Section 53 pertaining to the power of central government on recommendation of the RBI to exempt by notification certain companies located in the special economic zones. What is the conclusion of the entire Banking Regulation Act? The very first thing we can note here, banking in India has got a paradigm shift due to the perfect mixture of law and practice. A number of policy measures have been implemented to make Indian banking of global standard. And the most important takeaway from Banking Regulation Act is, the Banking Regulation Act enacted in 1949 is meant to regulate the functioning of banking companies and corporations. That's how we reach the end of Chapter 3. Thank you very much.